The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's another Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. The tones of Electric Light Orchestra, as they're known now. Jeff Lynne's ELO, Wembley or Bust. This album just came out this past week. This was from a concert that they did at a Wembley Stadium. Oh, my God. I saw this on Showtime. It was had to be 2018, I think. Had to be 2018. Summer of 2018, Showtime, they were airing it, or maybe late summer. Maybe it was like, it was probably like August. And I remember, if I remember correctly, the concert aired on Showtime. I had texted my friend Kim and said, we have to go see ELO. And then they were playing at Radio City, but the tickets were outrageous. And I refused to give Jim Dolan my money anymore. If I could avoid it, I really do avoid it. Jim Dolan, who owns Madison Square Garden, Radio City Music Hall, he owns the Beacon Theater, a couple of other venues in this new MSG Sphere in Vegas where U2 will be playing later this year. You know, like, I don't know, they're doing like a two-week residency or whatever it is. So I said, there's no way I'm paying that kind of money for Radio City. So then 2019, they announced, or at the end of 2018, whatever it was, they announced that ELO would be playing at the Prudential Center. I'm like, perfect. So we get the tickets. We go. I think Dahani Harrison, George Harrison's kid, opened for ELO, and we went to the show. And it was great because you could take the train right from Broadway, five stops. It was a great little place that we used to hang, you know, for pregame, which was awesome. They're closed now. And it was a fantastic show. I mean, my goodness. They sound so good. And then it was like, lo and behold, a couple months later or a year, you know, not even a year later, here's the pandemic and no concerts and whatever. And artists are finally starting to come out now. They're starting to do their tours. The prices are a lot more expensive. We'll get into some beer news in a second. But the prices are, we got no guests on the show tonight. It's really a lot of beer-oriented stuff that we'll get to. But concert prices are out of sight now in terms of going to them and how much money you got to pay. All these varying prices, Springsteen charging all this money, all these artists charging all this money. You have to understand, they don't make their sales anymore. They don't make their money off album sales. They make their money on concerts. And it's expensive. And when you see guys like a Springsteen, for example, this might be the last time he tours. Maybe the second to last time. A lot of these guys are sort of, you know, they're ending their careers. Now, Kiss, they've been ending their tour for 8 years now. I love this. They made the announcement they're going to be at Madison Square Garden at the end of the year. I could care less. I've seen Kiss enough times. Kiss is one of those overrated bands where you've seen them once, you've seen the show. You don't need to go again. They're not doing anything that's innovative. They're not creating new music that's, you know, off the charts. You have to go and say, I'm sorry. And if you're a Kiss fan out there, I'm sorry. But, yeah, once is enough. I think I saw Kiss three times, twice in the makeup, once without the makeup. I'm good. All right. We'll leave it at that. Let's move on to some news and notes. I've got a lot to get to on the program today. So we'll go to the West Coast. Coronado Brewing and Society Brewing, two of San Diego's most beloved breweries, they've created the Mariner. It's a West Coast double IPA. It's brewed with El Dorado, Simcoe, and Citra hops. It's out now. It's available on draft. It's on 16-ounce four-packs at all Coronado Brewing Company locations throughout Coronado's distribution network. It's big, bold, and aromatic beer. It combines the India Pale Ale experience of both breweries, and both make great IPAs. So really cool to see these guys get together. It's an 8% ABV, so it's a banger. It will definitely take care of business for you. Society will be making their version of the part two of the collaboration. That will be coming out in May, and that will be brewed and packaged at Society's own brewery in Miramar, San Diego. So that's really cool. So CoronadoBrewing.com and SocietyBrewing.com for more information. I am trying to get back out to San Diego at some point before the end of the year. Maybe during Beer Week, maybe not. But I'd like to get back out there again to hit spots that I haven't yet gone to. Maybe stop in at a few friends' places, but really to get to places that I haven't been to. Now, speaking of friends, Stone Brewing has announced a new beer to bring in springtime. It's Stone Patio Magic Double IPA. It shows showcases Stone's commitment to innovation with the use of Sauvignon Blanc grape skin extract and an experimental hop variety from Hop Breeding Company, which is now available nationwide. They are using Phantasm in this beer. It's double IPA, again, 8.8%. You can find it, stonebrewing.com. It is out now, and it will be across the country very soon. So you definitely want to check that out, Stone Brewing's Patio Magic Double IPA. Our friends from Trogues, while they're not introducing a new beer, they are introducing a concert series, which they had last year, this summer concert series, at Harrisburg University. They are again teaming up with Harrisburg University of Science and Technology to present the Harrisburg University 2023 Summer Concert Series. Jason Isabel and the 400 Unit with special guest S.G. Goodman kicks off this year's concert series on Wednesday, July 26th. Then some other confirmed shows, The Roots, on Saturday, July 29th, and then Seattle indie folk band The Head and the Heart on Saturday, August 26th. For more information and to get your tickets, hupresents.live is the website for more information. So that's cool. So Trogues being a sponsor in that, very, very cool. Our good friends from Heavy Seas, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff for St. Patrick's Day. They are releasing a couple of different beers. Pub Crawler Hoppy Red Ale, it's a 7.5%. It'll be on draft and in four packs. It's a collaboration with Liquidity Ale Works. Liquidity, I think. It has notes of raisin, toffee, and pine, a hint of roast on the back end. Again, a 7.5% a red ale, hoppy red ale. And then they're doing a whiskey barrel-aged chocolate volcano on nitro, barrel swap with Old Line Spirits. It's 11% ABV, intense chocolate, balanced whiskey, hints of roasted coffee beans, served on nitro for extra smoothness. Also, Heavy Seas Tap Room, back open, returning to regular hours, Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 10 p.m., Saturday from noon to 10, and Sunday from noon to 8 p.m. So if you're in the Baltimore area, go check out Heavy Seas. We go back to the West Coast, talk about Firestone Walker. And why? Well, the iconic Parabola Imperial Stout is back. They've also released a small batch spinoff called Paraboloid, which was aged in 20-year-old Elijah Craig bourbon barrels. The Parabola one was aged in barrels from Blanton's and W.L. Weller distilleries. The 2023 vintage of Parabola rolling out to all Firestone Walker markets right now. Limited 12-ounce bottles and draft formats. 12-ounce bottles of Paraboloid available for a limited time at all Firestone Walker locations or online at firestonebeer.com. They will not ship everywhere, so you definitely have to check that out. Again, Parabola, fantastic beer. It's a beast of a beer. Intense flavors of black cherry, dark chocolate, vanilla, and rose coffee. Each annual release also bears its own subtle imprint gained from aging in a unique mix of barrels from one year to the next. Parabola happens to be one of my favorite Firestone Walker beers. I mean, it can do no wrong. And it comes in a 12-ounce bottle, and it's a little pricey. It's probably about $20 for a 12-ounce bottle. But let me tell you, it's one of those you crack open with friends, you pour it, you just savor it. It's delicious. It's a great beer that you certainly don't want to miss out on. It's really a fantastic beer. You can't go wrong with it, 100%. And then finally, I'm trying to pull it up here on my Instagram. The Lost Abbey is making some changes. And so I was going to do this in the next segment, but I'm going to do it here because I have a few moments. and time if I can actually read this from here. So the Lost Abbey on the Friday before last, San Diego Beer News published an article, included some major information about their brewery, brands, and strategic thoughts for the future of the company. This past week, the Lost Abbey has said that they are making some changes. So what they are going to do, the process of branching in two separate directions will allow for the most focus of each entity possible. So Pete Support will be retaining their production assets in San Marcos and take stewardship of Port Brewing and the Hop Concept brand. So they're getting away from that. Tommy Arthur is going to take over the Lost Abbey part of it and will grow that. So a change to the LLC will be facilitated. This group will continue the stewardship for the Lost Abbey. While it will retain majority ownership, it has been determined that it is time to open our brewery up to outside investment in order to secure the future for the Lost Abbey. Many of you have indicated in the past that if we ever needed help, to please say so. Today we are doing just that. Please consider helping us on this continued road of excellence. As part of this process of growing into two unique companies, we've put together an investment deck. If you would like to see what our universe looks like and are serious about joining us on the next chapter of this journey, we'd love to send it your way. Please email and let us know if this appeals to you. We have a plan to be a much smaller but still world-class brewery. In fact, some of the most revered producers of beer have chosen a similar path. Our current footprint of hospitality-based operations has great foundations, and our passionate staff will remain to assist us with our vision. Now, I know they are changing one of their taproom. They're going to cut it down to one of their taproom hours, and one is going to take over as being a Pizza Port location. The other locations of the Lost Abbey are going to be there. But kudos to Lost Abbey for making these moves. They're moving out of an old building that they've been in. I think the Pizza Port and Hop Concept are going to take over that part. They're moving into a smaller facility and continue to do the great barrel-aged beers, the Saisons, and the stuff that they do so very well. It's a great brewery. If you're in San Diego, I highly encourage you to check out the Lost Abbey. You will not be disappointed. When we come back after a short break, more news from around the beer world. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Little Stone Sour from the Hydrograd album, The Witness Trees. Stone Sour hasn't really put anything out in a while. I know that Slipknot has been touring and stuff, and Corey Taylor hasn't had time to devote to his metal band instead of his thrash bands. I saw them, Stone Sour, my goodness, this is before my cancer, so this had to be like 2014, 2015, at Irving Plaza, the old Irving Plaza. Now, they've redone Irving Plaza, and it looks great. But this was the old Irving Plaza, and they were phenomenal. Never seen them before. One of my mentors in the business, Kurt Chaplin, called me and said, you know, you got to see these guys. They're unbelievable, et cetera, et cetera. I said, okay. I went totally blown away. They did a tribute to Judas Priest at the end of the show. And they did Heading Out to the Highway. It was phenomenal. Like, note for note, Corey Taylor's got a tremendous voice and has tremendous respect for heavy metal and always gives back, you know, to the metal cause, which is fantastic. I love that. Let us dive into news, more news. We got a, excuse me, no guests on the program tonight. There's a lot of stuff to get to and a lot of different things in the beer world. And I'm chuckling because as I'm recording this, there was a story where the city of Newark apparently got duped by a scam artist into entering into an agreement with this supposed quote-unquote Hindu nation that doesn't exist. And I'm laughing because not one person in Newark at City Hall, any of the council people, did a Google search on this Hindu nation. And there's pictures of Mayor Ross Baraka signing it. Proclamation. I mean, it's amazing, you know. And there's a story in here I'm going to get to about, you know, the artificial intelligence and making beer. And that's the thing where you can never be too careful when you're talking with people. I hate to say it now, but we've become a society where you have to double and triple check a lot of things. It's sad that you can't just believe something at face value because people are trying to get over on you. It's not cool. Now, in the beer business, I don't see a lot of that, especially among the independent craft brewers. Maybe in the macro beer world, where there is, you know, look, let's face it. There's alleged impropriety from the big beer makers. But the smaller guys, everybody is working to help themselves, but also help others. I mean, I've seen it time and time again where breweries will help other people out, whether it's organizations, whether it's just helping out another competitor with something because they're trying to further their cause. And that's an awesome thing. We've mentioned this before about Wet Ticket. They are doing a thing where they're trying to save the planet. They'll pay you 10 cents for every black, green, and red plastic four-pack holder that you bring in. It's a maximum of 50 per visit per day, up to $5. They'll apply it to in-person draft sales of at least 10 bucks, any size pour and flights. They reserve the right to stop the offer at any time. I think it's a good thing. I think if you have any of those black, green, or red plastic four-pack holders, you want to bring them in, you get some cash towards another beer. Not a big deal. I think that's a great idea. I think it's awesome. Of course, I'm sure at some point the NJABC will put a stop to that because New Jersey seems to be the no-fun state. Now, coming up this Tuesday, I'll be doing a cheese and beer pairing with the French Cheese Board over on Spring Street in Manhattan. It is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. They're pairing three cheeses with three different styles of beer. Torch and Crown is the brewery that's supplying the beers, and the French Cheese Board will be supplying the three cheeses. It's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait. Should be exciting. Should be a fun little night in Lower Manhattan. Now, the B3 Showdown, the tickets are on sale now. You have until midnight tonight, midnight Sunday, right? 1 week special, $25 you will save on VIP or general admission tickets. The code is SAVE25. That's SAVE25. You got about, I don't know, I'd say about a half hour left to get that in. So the Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown features 30 New Jersey craft breweries, each serving three styles of beer, one of which is a rare or specially created beer for the event, which is really cool. The VIP hour is from noon to 1. There's live music by Mr. Lovejoy. There's an amazing array of barbecue and bacon food vendors and restaurants. Again, bring the kids, bring the dogs. It's a fun event. VIP tickets, of course, give you a first shot at those rare and special beers. An extra hour meet and greet with the brewers, chefs, pitmasters, and an incredible one-hour buffet that will be created by Chef Chris Massey, who will be one of the judges. I'll be judging at the event as well. Mike DeSimone from Paragon Tap and Table will be judging. I believe Jenna Intersimone will be there as well. And Peter and Deb from Jersey Bites and Jersey Bites Beer will also be there as well as judges. The general admission is from 1 to 5 p.m. It's Saturday, May 20th at Menin Arena Field in Morristown, outdoors, under tents. It's a benefit for the Chester First Aid Squad. NJBeerBBQFest.com is the website for tickets and info. NJBeerBBQFest.com. If you buy tickets in the next 30 minutes and use the code SAVE25, you will save $25 on either VIP tickets or general admission tickets. It's a 21 and older event. So if it's 21 and older, it's probably don't bring the kids. But can you bring your dogs? Absolutely you can. Now, let us dive into, and as I said, I'll be a judge at that event, and it's always a lot of fun. We have a great time. I'm usually overstuffed, but we have a lot of fun. Now, artificial intelligence is behind a new IPA being served at a Michigan brewery. Atwater Brewery developed the beer with the help of an AI chatbot. Joe Platt, Atwater's quality manager, said in a statement, "We asked an AI to create an IPA recipe for us, and it was able to create a recipe to the scale of our brew system and created an AI-designed human-brewed IPA. The company says the beer is a blend of Centennial, Citra, and Amarillo hops, producing tropical and citrus flavors and aromas." Platt said, "I can't wait for everyone to try one of the first artificially intelligent designed beers. AI technology has the potential to impact and revolutionize many industries, including the brewing industry in the future. While Atwater Brewery may be the first in the country to use an AI chatbot to come up with a new beer recipe, it may not be the first in North America. Apparently, Whistle Buoy Brewing Company used ChatGPT to create Robo Beer, which it describes as a hazy pale ale. In addition, the brewery said the chatbot helped create the artwork and description for the beer." Now, I've seen a couple of these They're not alone. This is, you know, I think there are a few of them that have done this AI, maybe to a smaller scale, but apparently, some of them have come up with recipes. Some good, some not so good. I'm impressed. Let's see what happens. I'm wondering who the first brewery in New Jersey will be, or in New York, to create an AI beer. Because let's face it, when you're making a beer, you're following, a lot of times you're following tried and true recipes, but then you're coming up with your own. If you're a brewer, you know, there's a certain style you like, you're sort of trying to duplicate it. I remember I was having a chat with one brewer who told me, if they go somewhere and they drink a beer and they like it, they try to duplicate that beer within their brewery. Maybe not exactly the same, but, you know, a variation, you know, maybe one or two things are off or whatever, you know, on it, depending on what their palate is or what they think that the palate of their customer will be. And then, you know, try to recreate that beer, break it down, you know, without, obviously without having access to the actual recipe, which would be cheating. So I find it interesting. Is it the future of craft beer? No. Maybe as a one-off? Yeah. But I don't think it's going to replace people. You still have to brew it, you know, by hand. And, you know, when Jim Cook was on the program a couple of weeks ago, that was one of the things that we discussed about how technology is great, but it's the old school methods of how you learn how to brew. You learn by how people were brewing, you know, 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. And then you can use technology to enhance that or advance it, but really it comes from the person themselves. So I don't think AI is going to replace brewing recipes. I think it's a one-off for some brewers. Yeah, I could see that happening very easily. It looks like our good friends from Alosta, from Alosta Brewing from Covina, California, doing a collab with Fu Manchu, the American stoner rock band that was formed back in 1985 in SoCal, long associated with the Palm Desert scene. As soon as we have the details on the beer, we will get that information to you. Kudos to Alosta. They do a lot of different beers with a lot of different people and a lot of different bands. Michael Anthony did a collab with them. What was it? They did a Copper Ale for Live. They did a Kolsch with Helmet. So they've done a bunch of different beers with a bunch of different bands, and I think that's kind of cool. And then finally, before we take a break, Alosta Brewing, in honor of International Women's Day, which was this past week, and of course it's women's national, you know, women, they're honoring women this month, they released Pure Obsidian. It's a cold black IPA. It's a product of their 2023 Pink Boots Collaboration Brew Day. A tropical nose, a hint of chocolate on the tongue. The beer drinks easy, stays interesting until the very last drop. AshtonBrewing.com for more info on that. And their three-year anniversary is this month. Hard to believe that Ashton has been around for 3 years. They're in the old demented space in Middlesex, New Jersey. They're having an anniversary celebration Saturday, March 25th, Sunday, March 26th, noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday, 1:30 to 6 on Sunday. Live music, specials, and more. They'll be tapping lots of barrel-aged beer. Midnight Moonlight, aged in different barrels, like three or four different versions, along with El Cobre, a Mexican lager aged in mezcal barrels, along with a barley wine called Fraxinus that was aged in bourbon barrels, and a Scotch Ale aged in Scotch barrels. Easy for me to say. Hit up their Facebook page at facebook.com/AshtonBrewing for more info on that. We're hoping to have Steve Ashton on the program in a couple of weeks. I'll record that at his brewery. And when we come back from a short break, more news and notes from around the beer world on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, a guestless version this week of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast. But the next couple of weeks, we're going to be loading it up with some guests and having a little bit of fun on the program as we are smack dab in March. Peter Gabriel, In Your Eyes. Anybody that hears that song from the So album knows that it is synonymous with the movie Say Anything. I mean, when I hear that song, that's exactly what I think of. I think of John Cusack, who played Lloyd Dobler, standing with the in front of Diane Court's house with the boombox, blasting that song, and he stands out there in the rain. You know, it's just a myriad of emotions set in Seattle. Just an awesome, awesome film. And I remember when my best friend was living in Seattle. I remember, you know, like, you tried to, I had a couple of days to myself because he had to work. And I remember trying to go around to try and find certain spots from that movie. I couldn't find them, but Seattle's a beautiful city. I love it. That's one of those cities I've not been back to in over 20 years and would love to get out there at some point. To sort of explore. There's a good beer scene out in Seattle too, which is kind of cool. So we'll see. I'm trying to, you know, plan a trip or two this year. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull it off, but logistics and, you know, taking time and, you know, things are getting expensive again. Inflation, airfare is starting to shoot through the roof again. You know, not good. And I don't want to say that I'm beyond the people, as I like to say on the Joe Piscopo Show, but I'm not one of these people that gets on Southwest or Spirit to fly. I need to have a little bit of leg room. I need to relax. I want it to be a pleasant experience. I don't want to be jammed in like a sardine, you know, next to people. And I don't know. It's just, it's not that I fly first class. Don't get me wrong. But it's just not, there's certain parameters that I have to have, and I won't give those up. And I don't think I should. I'll leave it at that. There is a new 30,000 square foot brewery with amenities that is expected to open in the town of Wallkill, up in New York, just inside the main entrance to the Galleria Mall at Crystal Run this spring. Aspire COO, it's called Aspire, Alex Kemp said the facility will include an 8,000 square foot brewery, a traditional tap room, and a beer hall with 40 self-pour tap beers, as well as ciders and wines. The facilities will include a game room with an axe throwing area, indoor cornhole gaming, and golf simulators. Kemp said their $11 to $12 million investment will add to the amenities in the region. Now, we have a lot of great neighbors in the area and, of course, a ton of great breweries in Orange County and the Hudson Valley that we hope to work and collaborate with. The Economic Development Director of Orange County, Steve Gross, said it'll bring it'll be another major facility to the area, bringing with it new jobs. It will bring the craft brewery industry to the next level in Orange County, show off the great opportunities we have in the tourism and hospitality industry. Parth Patel, who is the president of Aspire, says that it'll be the first craft brewery in the town of Wallkill, the adjacent city of Middletown, which has two breweries within its boundaries. So this is great. Right over the border, heading into upstate New York along that 17 corridor, which is kind of cool. And they're talking about having this open. All right, so this spring. So you're talking about, so an 8,000 square foot brewery. At first, when I read it and I saw 30,000 square feet, I'm going, wow, that's a lot of square footage. But obviously, they're going to have other things in there to keep you entertained, which I think is the smart thing to do. And again, it's New York, it's not New Jersey. In New Jersey, we can't have fun things, we're not allowed to. But in New York, you're talking about, I mean, this is great, 40 self-pour tap beers. Now, Roscoe Brewing has a self-pour tap system, in addition to having somebody pour you beers as well. It's cool. You know, you buy it, you get this debit card, you basically scan it, you pick how many ounces you want of beer, 4, 8, 12, 16, whatever it is, whatever the limit is on the machine, push a button, it pours the beer right in the glass. I mean, it's easy peasy. I like it. I think it's a cool concept. Kudos to these guys, Wallkill. You know, if I am planning on being in that area this summer to see Robert Plant and Alison Krauss up at Bethel Woods, so maybe that's a stop on the way home to check it out. Who knows? Jappa Savasaria, a woman-run Japanese-Brazilian brewery that we've talked about on this program, founded by Mayra Kimura, Yumi Shimeda, Fernanda Yuneo, has tapped advertising executive Tanya Matsuka, to lead the brewery's business operations, which includes strategic planning and implementation, performance management, and market research. This from Shimada. Tanya's arrival complements and boosts the brand's plans, reinforcing not only its recognition in the craft beer segment, but also links new company restructuring processes to continue growing on multiple fronts. The Japanese team in Matsuka first became acquainted with the foursome when they worked on a Kerfuto, a Japanese-Brazilian Fair based in Sao Paulo that celebrates the culture of Japanese descendants in Brazil. You know, you would think I would have read this completely before I started reading it. I apologize. Brazil is home to the largest Japanese population. We've talked about this before, outside of Japan, since Japanese immigration to Brazil in 1908, which is pretty cool. Now, with the hiring of their new business partner, Japas maintains the brewery's leadership structure of being run entirely by women of Japanese descent, an intentional move to affirm the company's focus on female representation and diversity, and to welcome their newest business partner, the brewery working on Kamakura Maru, a new brand from the Maru series, which honors the ship that brought Matsuoka's family from Japan to Brazil. The beer will make its way to Brazil first and then make a splash in select markets in the United States. Which includes New York. I am hoping that we can get Japa Cerveceria in New Jersey. And along those lines, 21st Amendment Brewery announced earlier this past week that they are, not only are they open for business, but they're also open for contract brewing. And the website AmericanCraftBeer.com raised a question when they posted this article. Why is such a big brewery now doing contract brewing? And I think it's interesting to discuss that. So 21st Amendment is a big it's a big brewery. They're in, I don't know, I think it's 30 states they produce their beer and distribute it. I think this brewery, along with others, are starting to find a problem getting into certain local markets, and maybe all local markets. And I'll tell you why. Beer from very small breweries has gotten better. I was talking about this with Steve Ashton the other night at Paragon Tap and Table. You're opening a brewery. You need to come out of the box hard. You've got to have your stuff dialed in right away. You don't really have time for mistakes. You mess up a batch when you start to open, you're going to have a problem. You don't make enough beer when you open, it's not always necessarily a problem, because normally whatever you budget out for, you're always going to run out because people want to come that first weekend or two and try your beer. So usually you run out, especially if you're a really, really small operation. It's very difficult to produce that much beer in a short period of time. So you've got to be dialed in. And if you're dialed in, that means people are coming to you. It means people want to try you. They want to drink. They want to drink the beer that you're making. But also it means their habits are shifting away from the national brands. Inflation has something to do with it. But also, I think it's the curiosity of the craft beer drinker that says, hey, I'm going to support my local guy. I could go to Wet Ticket and buy an IPA that has the same juiciness and haziness that I get in a beer produced by a national brand. So, that is an interesting thing. So I think we're starting to see more of that from bigger brewers that have bigger facilities that can't pump out enough beer to get to the masses, or that people are buying. That stuff is sitting on shelves for so long. So they turn to contract brewing. Hey, you've got a brewery and you can't produce, you know, more of your product, or you don't have a storefront, or you don't have, you know, a brick and mortar. We'll brew your beer for you and then we'll distribute it. Bolero Snort does that. They contract brew at a lot of different breweries to help them out. They have the capacity, they have the space. Now, granted, Bolero pumps out a lot of beer across New Jersey, but they help out the others. Then what I'm saying is that Bolero is not on the level of, say, a 21st Amendment, a Stone. They're not in every, you know, they're not in 30 states. They're in a bunch of them. They're not in 30. It's a big difference. So I think what we're starting to see is these bigger brewery operations, like a Stone, like, you know, a 21st Amendment, like Cigar City, who's owned by a corporation, but You got like a Founders, also run by a corporation. But what you're starting to see now is that you're starting to see these bigger places having to try and figure out how to make ends meet by bringing in other breweries and contract brewing their beer on their systems. Is this a trend? I think we're starting to see that. We've seen businesses go out of business because of the pandemic. We've seen businesses of craft beer start because of the pandemic. I mean, Ashton Brewing is a perfect example. And we'll talk to Steve in a couple of weeks. You know, they opened during the pandemic. And, you know, within within a week of them opening, they had to close. Or they were about to open, and then they opened at the end of March and had to just, growler service only. Nobody could come into their tap room. So they had to shift their entire way of thinking, So it's remarkable how they are able to shift these people. But what's amazing, what is troubling to me is that, are we going to start to see a lot of these big breweries either consolidate, get bought out by others, or simply close altogether because they can't put out the beer that they used to put out and they don't have enough contract brewing to support them? I mean, that's really the bottom line. So we'll see. When we come back after a short break, it's time for Suds and Duds. And I got a chance to hang out with Jim Cook from Sam Adams this past week in the city. And I will tell you all about that as well. Coming up next on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Final segment of the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer. 36 years ago this week, U2's Joshua Tree was released. That's amazing. In God's Country. Probably one of my favorite songs on the album. I still love Where the Streets Have No Name. I love the guitar from The Edge. And when I got a chance to see them when they did the 30th anniversary of this album 6 years ago, it was just after my cancer, just after all my treatments and stuff and everything else was a couple months down the road. Actually, it was a month after my radiation because it was June of 2017. And I only remember because the next day I was actually going for a CAT scan, which was funny. And they did this album in its entirety at MetLife Stadium, and it was amazing. And it was really cool. Like, they started out with like sort of a small club playing stuff before Joshua Tree. And then they kick into the album. And when you hear the first tones of Edge's guitar playing Where the Streets Have No Name, that jing, 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 when you hear, and then the stage like opened up and exploded. It was amazing. What a great show. And this year is the 40th anniversary of, is it the 40th? No, 30th. 30th anniversary of Achtung Baby? Yes, 30th anniversary of Achtung Baby. There you go. U2 not touring. They are doing a residency in Las Vegas. I will see Bono next month for my birthday. He's doing his readings from his autobiography and doing some songs and stuff. And then the rest of the band, minus the fine drummer in the band, Adam Clayton, he's getting back surgery. And so we'll be unable to do the residency with U2. So they brought in a filling guy. I forgot his name. But it should be a lot of fun at the MSG Sphere in Las Vegas. All right, so Suds and Duds. I was going to run down a whole bunch of beers that I had, but I'm going to hold those off until next week. Two things I wanted to talk about before we get out of here. One, my hanging out with Jim Cook from Sam Adams this past Thursday night, which was great. But also want to mention about Big Brew from last weekend. It was great to see everybody at the Morristown Armory. Just a lot of fun. I was very, very excited to see so many people. It really was, because Big Brew is kind of the first festival of the year in New Jersey. It's before the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest. It's before Beer, Bacon, Barbecue. It's all these different things that are going on. But Big Brew is usually like the first big festival that starts, although Brewsology really sort of kicked things off. But that's new. Big Brew's been around for a long time now. And it was great to see everybody, to catch up with everyone. The guys from Coastal were there. They've got some great news about their place. Looks like they're going to be building in Eatontown. They haven't crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's yet, but they are close. They're very close to getting things done there, which is awesome. Spoke with another friend of mine who's, I have to sort of tease this here. We'll have more information next week. But essentially, a brewery that's been trying to open for quite some time is going to be opening very, very soon in New York, not New York City, listen to me, in New Jersey, which is great. Good news to hear about that. Then talked with Tim from Wet Tickets, or Tim's wife. Had a nice conversation again with Steve from Ashton Brewing. Had another conversation with Steve from Ashton Brewing at Paragon Tap and Table on Tuesday with March Madness, which was good. We'll get into that in a sec. And, you know, just great catching up with everybody. What is it? Lion's Roar Brewing is now doing cans, which is kind of cool on a limited basis, obviously, because they use a mobile canner. Great to catch up with Mike Carlton. Great to see Mike Miles. I have not seen Mike in quite some time. He is he's doing sales for Duclaw Brewing in New Jersey, which is great. He and I actually have to catch up for lunch. Mike, I am definitely taking you up on that offer. Not that I want you to pay. I'm happy to pay, but, you know, it's always great to catch up with somebody and, you know, and just shoot the breeze. And Mike was actually involved in politics for a little bit down, I believe it was in Eatontown, if I'm not mistaken. I have to talk, you know, just kind of catch up with him and see what's going on. You know, Duclaw always has some great stuff. And they're doing their whole thing on colorectal cancer this month. You know, the whole poop in a box and you send it back. And I can't remember the name of the company again. It escapes me. Forgive me. It's early in the morning when I'm recording these things, so sometimes I don't remember everything. Anyway, it was great to catch up with Mike. And again, colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of death in men across the country. It's important. You should go and get a colonoscopy. It is important. Don't wait till 50. They're telling you to do it a little earlier. Get it done. Believe me, the peace of mind of knowing that you don't, that there's no issues, is so much better, because if they find it early, they can treat it. If they find it late, it's usually fatal. Not a good thing. All right. So Big Brew is great. Allison, thanks so much for the tickets. Really appreciate it. Had some great beers there. I can't even go through the whole list, but a lot of good stuff, and cannot wait. The next big event is Beer, Bacon, Barbecue at Menin Field coming up May 20th. That's going to be a lot of fun, and that sort of kicks off the summer season heading into the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest. So this past Thursday night, I got a chance to sit down with Jim Cook and the team from Sam Adams. Jim was in town in Manhattan to talk all about the remastered Boston Lager. We had Jim on the program last week. We were talking about it, but now I actually got a chance to try it. And I have to tell you, I enjoyed it. Is it the best lager I've ever had? No. And even Jim will tell you, it's not the best beer he's ever made yet. He's still working on it. It's still a work in progress. After 30-something years, he's still working on it. And I think all brewers would say that. As good as a beer that they make, they always say to them, or I assume that they say to themselves, they can always make it better at some point, you know. So Jim spent about 10, 15 minutes talking to the assembled folks that were there, and how, you know, what they did a little bit differently with the Boston Lager and how they remastered it. It is a 5% ABV. It's 30 IBUs. It is a crisp, clean drinking lager. It's not super, you know, clean where you could see through it, but it is a little bit lighter than the original Boston Lager. I have to say that. It is lighter. And I actually have a bottle of the original lager and the remastered. I'm actually going to do a side-by-side comparison to see what the difference is in terms of, you know, the color and all that other stuff. And then the taste. I'd like to see if there is a noticeable difference. It was delicious. It is definitely my buddy Greg came with me, and we both agreed this is a beer we could sit and probably drink in the backyard after doing some lawn work or doing some yard work or whatever the case may be. Is it the best lawnmower beer in the world? I don't know. At 5%, you can easily get overwhelmed pretty quickly, but it's nice to see that you can have a few and enjoy it, which is nice. So it's Hallertau, Mittelfrüh, and Tettanager Noble Hops. They give you food pairings on it as well, blue cheese, black bean soup, bruschetta and a Cobb salad. Obviously, it goes well with burgers, roasted or fried chicken, and burritos. If you want to have it with a dessert, dark chocolate, chocolate and caramel, cupcakes, toffee cheesecake. What was great was that everything that they did at the Perfect Pint, which is where the event was held, everything that they did, the food was all, some component of the food was made with the Boston Lager. So they had a pretzels with a cheese dip. The cheese dip had the Boston Lager in it. The hamburgers, I think, were made with, you know, a little bit of the Boston Lager in the mix when they were making the patties. Chicken wings. They had some egg rolls. They had a pita bread with some, I think it was hummus. I didn't have that, so I don't know exactly. And they had cookies that they brought down from Boston, from Massachusetts, that had Boston Lager in the mix, which I thought was really cool. And they gave us a little gift package, which was very nice, thanks to the folks at Sam Adams. We really appreciate that. And we got a six-pack of the beer to take home, which was great. So my buddy and I are walking in the middle of Times Square, each of us holding a six-pack of Sam Adams and this other bag, and it probably looked like we were alcoholics, but whatever. Anyway, I digress. But the great thing about Jim is that he's always willing to sit down and talk beer. He chatted with us for about 5 minutes. It was nice to finally meet him face-to-face. He is the godfather of beer. You know, we had a nice little conversation, and then he moved on to some other people, which was wonderful. It was just a fun night. And I have to tell you, it's a really good beer. Oh, and we got a glass out of it, and the glass is that Boston beer glass that they have, the Sam Adams glass that pours this perfect pint, and it says on the back the remastered Boston Lager. You know, it was a fun event. And I have to tell you, you know, is this a beer I would buy? Absolutely. Is it a beer I think you should try? Yeah, give it a shot. I think you'll enjoy it. Is it something you're going to have all the time? I don't know. Probably not. But I think it is something that you should try at least once and see how it goes from there. I have to tell you, fantastic. Always have a good time with Jim. Always gives you some great information. And he just loves the beer business, even after all this time. And that is pretty, pretty cool. Because people work in a job 30 years. At some point, you go, all right, I'm done. He's not. He's only just getting started, which is really cool. Folks, we're out of time. My thanks to everybody who's involved in this show. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. Back Monday on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The Answer, cheers, everybody.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.